Years ago, when Marcus was younger than Whitman, there was a friend of ours named Matt Hines who would ask him, "Did you drive here today?" And everybody would cackle because, no, a toddler does not drive. There are stages of life and development that we all go through. Growth takes time. Every stage has its milestone, and it's the same spiritually speaking. From our first curiosity about Jesus to taking responsibility for our own faith and then learning to walk in maturity, there are patterns and stages we all experience at different times. We're all in different places. And over the next 2 weeks, we're going to talk about two things every disciple needs at different stages of that journey. Greater direction this week, greater discernment next week. So today, this morning, we begin where the journey starts, with greater direction. And it's at the invitation of Jesus to come and see that all of it begins. 2 points I want to make this morning. Discipleship is a journey that begins with curiosity. Second, discipleship moves from being curious about Jesus to being shaped by him. So let's start with curiosity. This work of discipleship that we're talking about, it's nothing new. We see it in everyday life, trades and apprenticeships for plumbers, electricians, countless other professions. It's a time-tested model that existed way before Jesus. And even during Jesus' day, he was not the only rabbi. Other people had followers. Discipleship wasn't new at that time. His own cousin, John the Baptist, also had a devoted group of followers, practiced discipleship. Whitman started reading in John 1:35 with John the Baptist there again. Where again? If we look in our open Bibles above what Whitman read, we see headings and scan the text, and we can see John the Baptist was preaching and prophesying, boldly calling out the religious elite, speaking into the corruption of his day, and he baptized people from all over, drawing many to follow him. And on this particular day, John was there again with two of his disciples. And John saw Jesus passing by and said, "Look," pointing his own disciples towards Jesus. And that's what we're all doing as disciples, pointing others to Jesus. This was, for those two, the very beginning of discipleship, and they started to follow Jesus, who noticed them following close behind and said to them, "What do you want?" And they answered by asking, "Rabbi, where are you staying?" But what they really wanted was a private audience with Jesus, a chance to speak with him behind closed doors, maybe a chance to speak honestly. And if we were there with Jesus, we might ask, "Who are you? What are you doing? And what do you even see in me?" In the Gospels, all four of them, Jesus is asked 183 questions. He answers at most 8. Some scholars say 3. And the scripture that we read this morning is one of a handful of times that Jesus answered directly a question that he was asked. "Where are you staying? Can I have a private audience with you? Jesus, can we talk?" And he will answer that question every time. "Yes, come and see." Jesus burst onto the scene before his disciples even knew who he was or cared that he was God in the flesh. Like all of us, they had a God-sized hole in them that only God could fill, and they're trying to fill it the best way they knew how. Some of us do that with religion, just like the disciples did. Check. done that. Some of us do that with idols of our own making, just like the disciples did. But the truth is, you're not what you do. You're not what you have. You're not what other people say or think about you. And Jesus is among us right here, right now, doing what he does, pursuing as he does. And at some point in the middle of that experience, in the middle of our oblivion, curiosity gets the best of us. And that is the starting point of faith. Our humble beginnings in those places, we need a safe place to ask questions, to express doubt, and maybe even disappointment. We long to be seen, known, loved, to have someone's full attention, and Jesus is giving it to us right here, right now. And so as we experience him, we tiptoe into those waters, and we begin to kick the tires of who Jesus is. And that experience moves us towards belief. We're not really tiptoeing or kicking tires. We are building a foundation, acknowledging a foundation that is already there, all out of curiosity, which is the starting point. I don't know if anybody's familiar with this picture. I'm guessing all of us, most of us are familiar. Leonardo da Vinci's Last Supper. Leonardo da Vinci once observed, "The average person looks without seeing, listens without hearing, touches without feeling, eats without tasting, inhales without awareness of odor or fragrance, talks without thinking. We're just busy, 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 doing all these autopilot. I'm average. I don't know about you. That describes me, but not Da Vinci." The quintessential Renaissance man called the five senses. Our five senses are the ministers of the soul. And it might be that no one else in all of history stewarded over those five senses better than did he. Da Vinci is famous for this painting, also the Mona Lisa, trained himself in curiosity. He never went anywhere without a notebook so that he could jot down observations, write down questions and ideas. And some of his notes became seeds of remarkable inventions like the helicopter or scuba diving gear. I don't really see it. Or a robotic knight. He lived in the 15th century, curious about how things work. Let me write this down. Let me dream a little. Even on his deathbed, documenting his symptoms in a journal. Discipleship is a journey that begins with curiosity. It's where we all start. And even before that, Jesus is pursuing us at his own initiative, and he welcomes our questions, welcomes our doubts. We don't have to have everything about everything figured out. We just have to begin. That exploration marks the beginning of Christian faith, those first steps we take towards deep and real friendship with Jesus. Next, discipleship moves us from being curious about Jesus to being shaped by him. Sometime later than what we read in John 1, in Matthew chapter 4, his gospel tells us, Jesus saw Peter and Andrew fishing. It was their livelihood. And this time he called out to them, "Come, follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people." Again, seemingly they'd already met Jesus, spent time with him, had some of their curiosities satisfied. Jesus saw their hunger and noticed something in them, maybe even called it out of them. "Come, follow me." And they did. And it was an invitation to something greater, something more, an invitation to join Jesus in his work in this world. Instead of catching fish, they'd be bringing people to Christ. And Jesus made it clear, this was not just about being sent. This was about being shaped. I will make you, is how the original language reads, not send you. I will make you, transform you into fishers of men and women. And that requires learning, not just learning from Jesus, downloading content, but learning Jesus. Which happens over time. The Oklahoma Sooners, can I get an amen? All right. They own the record for the longest winning streak in NCAA football history at 47 games. They won back-to-back national championships in 1955, 1956 under legendary head coach Bud Wilkinson. Jimmy Harris was the starting quarterback for those 2 years, started 25 games, was 25-0 as a college quarterback starter. And during those years, Coach Bud Wilkinson did something unusual. He invited his quarterback to live with his family during football season. You know his wife had to love him. But they became like father and son, lived under the same roof. They shared meals together, rode to football practice, talked about film side by side, diagram plays, football constantly. And when he was asked why, Wilkinson's answer was simple and profound. If that young man spends enough time with me, he will begin to think like I think. And when he gets out onto the football field, he'll know what I want him to do. Talk about learning. More than any playbook, learning Bud Wilkinson himself. Peter and Andrew had a similar experience. Jesus was the coach. They lived with him, ate, drank, slept, football, life, watched film together. And they weren't just these disciples. They weren't just downloading content. They were learning Jesus's character and his mission, his vision, values, all of the things. They were rooted in Christ, tethered to him, caught his rhythms of rest. And they were highly relational with God, each other, and in ministry to all the world. As they were growing in all of this, they're moving towards deeper friendship, deeper relationship with Jesus, who was still interested in them. Because as you go, there's always more. Jesus had pursued them. Now he is pouring into them. And that is the next step. When we are seen, known, loved, as we become secure in who I am and in whose I am, we begin to feel safe in the kingdom. That comes from learning Jesus. It involves content, absolutely. It's one part of it. It also involves spiritual disciplines, a heightened awareness of God, a personal responsibility for cultivating and applying this faith that I'm receiving. And here at Marvin, we've got a strategy for that called our discipleship pathway to help people grow in their relationship with Christ. It has four stages: exploring Christ, growing in Christ, close to Christ, Christ-centered. This is the goal, Christ-centered. And this morning, we've really talked about the first two: exploring Christ, growing in Christ. This faith journey that all of us are on, it is a process. And we in this room alone are all over the map with respect to who we are, how we are, where we are in our own journey with Christ, how we've experienced him, how we surrender to more. And he is faithful to meet us all right where we are and to get us moving towards Christ-centered. There is no cookie-cutter approach, no one-stop shopping or one-size-fits-all. Jesus does invite us all into a relationship that is real, personal, always growing. There's always more of God to experience. More learning about me, like, maybe I need to let that go. More to surrender. More to receive. And sometimes it looks and feels like this. That's winter. Grass is dead. Trees are dead. But we are about to get on the school bus. And sometimes the start of a new school year, even a Monday morning, it feels just like that. Let's do this again. Ugh, gosh. And eventually that teacher helped that student get up onto the bus and they went to school. That was Monday morning. And later that kid's dad explained, whenever Danny is really tired, he gets grumpy and way over dramatic. Daddy said, growing up is a lot like that, learning to do that in your head instead of in physical form. That kid is on a human development process, and it's exactly right. Sometimes we get up and feel like, man, I can't do this. That bus is going to take us out. But we grow, we learn, we mature. And that is the heartbeat of our discipleship pathway. And really, it is the heartbeat of Jesus's invitation to each and every one of us. Come and see. Let's just get started. Come and follow me. Let me satisfy your curiosity, warts, doubts, and all. Just bring them. Let me teach you. And the thing is, we're all on a discipleship pathway, not something we've invented here at Marvin. It is the journey that every follower of Jesus Christ is on. And we all begin with wonder, exploring Christ, kicking the tires of faith, curious about who is this guy? And then we begin to believe, and that's the movement that's taking place as we are growing in Christ, taking personal responsibility for my own faith journey. And community is vital. Mentorship, one-on-one, vital. This gathering, vital. Because in all of these ways, there is teaching taking place. It's not just taught. It's teaching that is caught. That's where greater direction is given as we learn Jesus, as we learn each other. The invitation of Jesus is to greater direction, to let him lead you, let him teach you, setting the course for your journey with him. And the goal of Christ-centeredness, look, the Lamb of God and all the places that we are positioned, teachers, lawyers, doctors, engineers, salespeople, administrative assistants, moms, dads, students, all of us, look. So don't think for a second you can do it alone, because I want you to hear me say, you can't. We are a part of something bigger than ourselves. We need the Lord Jesus, but we need each other. We need to take personal responsibility for positioning ourselves in gatherings like this and mentoring relationships. We need someone to guide us, and ultimately, his name is Jesus. Today, this morning, right here and now, his invitation is to greater direction as the starting point. It sets the course for the whole journey. And next week, we'll talk about greater discernment, the rest of this pathway, because direction without discernment will never get you on to maturity. Greater direction gets you started. Greater discernment keeps you moving. This morning, Let's be clear though. Jesus invites us all. Come and see. Come follow me. Lord Jesus, help us all to hear your voice. Help us all to respond to who you are, to how you are, to what you are doing in the world, that we might be a part of it all. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.